You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, first responders are getting special training to help in emergency situations with people dealing with emotional disturbances. We'll get the details in a new report from WisContext. First, the Trump administration's sanctions against Iran went into effect today. It's leaving some in the international community looking for ways to get around them. These are similar to sanctions in place before the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Yesterday on Fox News, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called the sanctions the toughest to ever be imposed on Iran.
I am very confident that the sanctions that will be reimposed this Monday, not only the crude oil sanctions, but the financial sanctions that are being put in place by the Treasury Department and over 600 designations of individuals and companies in Iran, will have the intended effect to alter the Iranian regime's behavior. That's our expectation. It's the reason for President Trump's policy.
Nahal Tusi is a foreign affairs correspondent with Politico. Nahal, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to us about the basics of these sanctions. What do they do?
Well, they target Iran's oil sector, its shipping sector, its shipbuilding sector, and its banking sector. These are really the biggest, most important sanctions that the U.S. is reimposing on Iran since President Trump walked away from the nuclear deal.
And you said reimposing. How similar are these to sanctions in place before that nuclear deal was reached?
Well, basically, they are the reimposition of all the sanctions that were in place before the nuclear deal was reached, in addition to additional sanctions. So they basically made them even tougher than they were before. They put more people, more entities, more organizations on this list, hundreds more. And it's, you know, just a question of whether or not it's going to have the effect that they want, which is to change, radically change, the Iranian government's behavior.
And what behavior has the Trump administration cited specifically?
They're very unhappy with Iran's military activities beyond its borders, its role that it's playing in Syria, that it's playing in Yemen, the influence that it has in Iraq, in Lebanon, its funding of organizations, terrorist organizations like Hezbollah and other militias across the Middle East, its support for terrorist and assassination activities in Europe. Of course, they're also unhappy with Iran's ballistic missile program and what they believe remains Iran's intention to one day have a nuclear weapons program.
Right, that list, except for the last item, that list is what critics of the Iran nuclear deal under the Obama administration have pointed to. That deal really focused very specifically on the nuclear development program, leaving off all that other stuff. And that's been a sore point for President Trump and others, right?
Well, yes. I mean, President Trump and others, first of all, say that the original nuclear deal, even though it was really quite narrow, wasn't strong enough to begin with. But the president has also said, look, it should have been a much bigger, more comprehensive deal. It should have dealt with everything from the ballistic missile programs to Iran's support for terrorism to even maybe its human rights abuses. And frankly, it's an interesting idea to try to get that sort of a major deal with a country that's been an enemy of the United States for four decades. But I'm not sure how realistic it is to be able to accomplish that sort of thing.
Was there a hope under the Obama administration that, okay, with the contacts we've made, with the efforts we put into the nuclear deal, maybe in 5 years, I don't know, we can start working on those other issues?
They never really officially said that very clearly. I mean, they were pretty careful in their public remarks during the Obama years to say, look, this is just about nuclear weapons and just, hold us to that. And if Iran ends up having nuclear weapons before this agreement expires or parts of it expires, then we will have failed. And that's all they wanted to be judged by. But, behind privately, of course, they were saying, look, it's really great that we're finally talking to the Iranians after all this time. And maybe now that we've removed the taboo on this idea of talking to them, then we can ultimately discuss other things. But that was a very, very different time.
Talking to Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent with Politico, about U.S. sanctions with Iran resuming today, along with some added ones, even beyond what was there before the 2015 nuclear deal. Nahal, can you talk about reaction from the other parties to the Iran nuclear deal? This was not just a U.S. and Iran thing.
Correct. I mean, there were several European countries as well as China and Russia who helped negotiate the nuclear deal. For the most part, those other parties have been pretty unhappy with the fact that the Trump administration has quit the nuclear deal. The European countries, Britain, France, and Germany, have been trying to find some sort of a work around the sanctions, some sort of financial mechanism that would let them do business with Iran without violating U.S. sanctions. They're still working on it, and I'm not sure how much luck they're going to have with it. But yeah, there's a lot of unhappiness. They feel like it was a diplomatic mistake on the Trump administration's part. At the same time, there were a lot of people who were warning, look, the U.S. can't unilaterally reimpose sanctions. It'll never work. It needs the support of the rest of the world. But to be honest, they're doing it, and Iran's economy has been really hit by it already before these sanctions even took effect. So, I mean, the U.S. sanctions by themselves are having more of an impact than a lot of critics of the Trump administration predicted.
Is this an effort? Are people seeing this as part of an effort toward regime change in Iran, destabilize the economy enough that the populace, where we've seen protests in recent years, turns on the Iranian government?
Well, the administration insists that it doesn't want regime change, that it just wants the behavior of the regime to change. Of course, the demands that it has put for that behavior change kind of effectively amounts to a completely different regime, effectively. But yeah, there are a lot of people who are worried that this administration hasn't really thought through the whole thing. I mean, let's say you put enough pressure on the Iranian regime and it does collapse. What comes next? Have they really thought this through? Is it possible that the Iranian military might actually end up taking over and becoming an even more powerful force within the country? Or is it possible that Iran becomes another failed state, you know, a la Libya or Yemen, and there's all sorts of groups fighting one another for power? And you know, that really worries a lot of Iranians as well, which is one reason that so many of them are very wary of the Trump administration's approach to their country.
You recently reported about a change in some outreach channels to the Iranian public that the Obama administration created, kind of showing friendly messages and interviews with Iranian Americans, a big change in tone lately in those. Can you talk about that?
Correct. I mean, the Trump administration has been waging what I refer to as an information war against Iran. They are using every single opportunity and every single tool that they can think of, from Twitter to speeches to videos, to try to bring pressure on the Iranian regime. They want to erode support for the regime within Iran and outside of Iran. They want to paint the Iranian regime as everything from corrupt to bad at managing the environment of the country to, of course, you know, desperate to get nuclear weapons. And this is, you know, they're using every tool possible from, you know, what the U.S. had originally under Obama was a virtual U.S. embassy for Iran, which is basically a website. And the Trump administration has really turned that into a much more aggressive and critical website when it comes to talking about the Iranian government, whereas under Obama it was much more friendly and engaging. And it's really interesting to see how many of these different things that they're trying, but it's hard to tell how much of it is going to work because, for one thing, Iran has pretty strong censors and a lot of Iranians can't even get access to this material.
Some critics of the Trump administration strategy in Iran have said, okay, what about Saudi Arabia? A lot of the criticisms we could level at Iran, Saudi Arabia does them too, murdering dissidents overseas, human rights abuses, violations, attacks in Yemen, things like that. Are people comparing and contrasting here?
Sure. I mean, there are a lot of critics who say that this policy toward Iran is really very hypocritical, especially when you consider the friendship that the Trump administration has extended towards Saudi Arabia. This is particularly an issue when it comes to the concept of human rights. The Trump administration insists over and over again that it stands with the Iranian people, that it supports the Iranian people, and that it only doesn't like the Iranian government. And so when it criticizes the Iranian government, it criticizes it for things like not allowing religious minority religions to easily practice in Iran, or for carrying out untold numbers of executions, or for having corruption. But these are all things that you can find, in some cases even worse, in Saudi Arabia. The rights of women, for instance. You know, there's a very strong argument that Iranian women are much more free than Saudi women. And yet, when it comes to the Saudis, the Trump administration says nothing. But when it comes to the Iranian, it points to these flaws. And it just, you know, for a lot of critics, it just smacks of hypocrisy.
Historically, Nihal, how have the Iranian people, and I know this is a lot of people, we can't generalize about everybody, but in general, how have Iranian people reacted to U.S. sanctions against the country? Do they blame their own government for it, or do they kind of rally around the flag?
I think you're right. It's hard to generalize. For the most part, I think most Iranians just simply try to get by, try to survive. There's certainly a recognition that the U.S. power is what's behind a lot of the sanctions. But I would say that in recent years, there's also a growing frustration with the Iranian government itself, because it is a corrupt government on many levels, because it does have very poor management on many levels. And I think at a certain point, you know, it's for a lot of Iranians, it's not enough to say, oh, let's just blame all of our problems on America. They have been, you know, going out to protest more in recent months and doing all sorts of things that make it very clear that they also blame their own government for a lot of the problems in their country.
We'll leave it there for now. Nahal, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. She was with us to talk about the Trump administration's sanctions against Iran that went back into effect today.